We're going to continue on in our prayer series. Thank you for those who've jumped online to do the devotionals with 21 days of prayer for revival. For those that are doing them, I'm getting great feedback, so appreciate that. If you're not doing them, it's not too late to jump on board with the YouVersion and just log in and go with the 21 days of prayer for revival. I'm really enjoying them. They're challenging me. This morning was just as much a challenge as any other day. So we're doing the sermon series. We're pinching our notes from our leaders at QB down in Brisbane. So just acknowledging them. I read through the new code of ethics for us as pastors. And one of the code of ethics for pastors is to acknowledge when you pinch everybody else's stuff. Apparently it's plagiarism, that. So I'm grabbing hold of one of the guys down in Brisbane's notes. And I've reworded them and put them in with my story. So just acknowledging that. So this is the theme that's happening all over Queensland, praying into prayer. And today we're looking at interceding prayer. So let's pray, shall we? Father God, thank you for prayer. It is such a cool thing to have and to be a part of and to be able to go to first and foremost when stuff is happening, whether it be good, bad, or even ugly. So we pray, Lord God, that you would guide us this morning and work in and through us. In Jesus' mighty name. And God's people said, amen. All right, we're looking at Acts chapter 12 today. Who knows what Acts chapter 12 is about before you even open it? Very good, very good. New Testament church, yep, you're right in the right zone. Anyone, let me take you back. Amy Grant. Anyone hear the name Amy Grant? Yep. Peter getting let out of prison. Amy Grant had this song I just loved the song. It was such a good song. I wanted to play it today, but we can't because of copyright, because we're live feeding. Hopefully that's getting fixed for you guys. Richie's doing his bet for you. Hopefully that works. So I wanted to play it. It's an awesome song. So if you want to have a look at it later, Amy Grant, about Peter.
Angels.
There we go. Thank you very much. Angels. Awesome song. Awesome song. And so Acts chapter 12 has always been one of my favourite chapters in the Bible. So let's have a look at it and then we'll look into it even more. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, be put to death with his sword. When he saw that this met with approval from the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the festival of the unleavened bread. So what you've got is King Herod. Now, King Herod is a nasty king. It's gone to his head. He is a king of kings, and he put it out there, and he said, it's my way, or I chop your head off. And literally, he was a vicious king. Sometimes in Australia, we get cranky with our politicians and we say certain things about them. I'm telling you, if we had King Herod ruling Queensland or Australia, we would be in trouble. We would be in big trouble. We would know what persecution really was, and we'd know what religious freedoms were. He was a mean, mean man. Now, he'd gone about this thing and he chopped James's head off because he wanted to persecute the early church with the sword. And in doing that, he did his poll, like normal politicians did his poll, and the Jews loved it. And because everything, all of a sudden he's popular, he's persecuting these people, and everyone's going, yeah, let's go, let's do it, this is a good idea. So what he does is he goes out and he arrests the 2IC, because we believe that James was probably the head of the church in those days, so that's why he was taken out of the picture. You call him the apostle of the church, or the pastor of the early church, or whatever you want to call it, and he was taken out of the game. So who do they go for next? Peter. So they arrest Peter and they put him in jail. Now, it's the festival. So even Herod, being as nasty as he is, realizes that he can't do anything else until after the festival. So Peter gets to sit in jail. Have you got the picture now? He's in jail. What has already happened is James has been killed. So he knows what's coming. He knows what Herod's about. He's in jail. It's not a good place. Let's read on and see what happens. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers. So 16 great big burly guards looking after little old Peter. Herod intended to bring him to the public trial for Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, and the church was earnestly praying to God for him. What was the church earnestly doing? What were they praying? Earnestly. Earnestly. It's an old word. Earnestly. They were going for it. You see, back in the day, the early church didn't have what we've got at our disposal today. They didn't have Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, email to get out there. So they all met together at Mary's house and they prayed, and they prayed earnestly. See, they couldn't write 100 letters off to Herod. They couldn't send him emails after emails after emails. They couldn't even contact the latest organisations to go and picket him out the front of the palace. Because if that sort of thing happened, Herod would have just gone, "You got those soldiers? Go and wipe them out. They're annoying me." Persecution was real, and Herod ran a tight ship, and he ran it his way. So the church got to do what only the church could do. And this early church, it was prayer. And they got together and they prayed. And they prayed earnestly. They prayed earnestly. Have you ever been in a point where you had to earnestly pray? It's a challenging place. When you know what's going on and you earnestly pray into this situation. In my time at St. Bart's, as a youth minister, we did 3 mission trips to the Solomon Islands. On our very first trip to the Solomon Islands, being a young gun, knowing everything, yes, I thought it, and we took this team over, and we were going to go over, even though we told the Archbishop of the Church of Melanesia that we were coming to learn, we were coming over there to teach them. We knew everything, and we were going to do stuff, and we had YWAM dramas and everything, and we were going to teach them. We get there on the first night, and they put us into a Western cultured house, which was really cool, a brand new house. They looked after us meticulously. They gave us a great meal, and then they stayed with us till about 10:30, 11 o'clock, praying for us and getting us ready for our 2-week mission out into the islands, where some of the kids that we would visit would be the first white man they've ever seen. That's pretty cool. That's a significant thing. And so we go to bed thinking, how cool is this? We're in the Solomon Islands. This is incredible. And the next morning, they come to pick us up in a truck. So not cars, just a truck. We all just jumped in the back of the truck. It was a great way to get around. And the guy, Philip, was looking tired. And I said, "Philip, you're tired." And he goes, "Yes, Mama," because another word for brother in the Solomon Islands is Mama. And so all the people on my team thought it was funny. I was getting called Mama. Anyway, they tried to do it when they got back to Australia, but it didn't work. Had fivefold ministry on them at that time. Anyway, so he's calling me Mama. He said, "Yes, Mama, we got back home last night and there was a message there for us that one of the saints in our church had been diagnosed with cancer and that they were going to die." And being the Solomon Islands, there wasn't a great aspect of good hospital stuff. And so he said, "We got together and we prayed." And I'm thinking, oh, cool. So who got together? Just the people in your house? And he goes, "Ah, no. We went down to the cathedral in Honiara, about 2,000 of us. 2,000. 2,000 of you got together to pray." Yes. I went, "Oh, wow. So look, you left us at about 11, so what, you pray through to midnight?" And he said, no, I've just come from the prayer meeting. There's still about 500 there praying." I was going there to teach them what? First morning, earnestly praying. Come on, people. Let's learn from our Solomon Island brothers and sisters. Let's take hold of what earnestly praying means, to go to that level. These guys were earnestly praying. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping. Can you imagine that? Peter was sleeping. He's about to be executed the next day, and he's sleeping. These are his sleeping coordinates. Here, you ready? He was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains, and the sentry guards were standing at the door. So it's not a comfortable place. He's in a dim, dark prison. He's sleeping. And we find out a little bit, he's sleeping with no clothes on. But I don't know about you, but I don't know if I could be sleeping, let alone sleeping with no clothes on, with 2 guards next to me, all chained up. He's sleeping. He's sleeping. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and the light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side, and guess what he said? Get up. Get up. Quick, get up. And he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, put on your clothes and sandals. Good angel. And the Peter did so and wrapped his cloak around him and said, follow me. The angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea what the angel was doing or whether it was really happening, for he thought it was seeing a vision. They passed the first and the second lot of guards, and they came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself. Can you imagine this picture? Middle of the night, everything, an angel appears, and then they walk up to this gate, you know, and he's walking out. Guards just, you know, doing whatever guards were doing at midnight. And then Peter came to himself. Peter came to himself. Did he wake up? Did it all of a sudden it seem very real for him? Have you ever been in a situation where you're praying and all of a sudden it becomes very real? Hold on a sec. If I don't pray into this, we're in trouble. Hold on. If I don't pray into this, or the other side of it. Now, another thing that many of us will have known, when we go into prayer for things, how many of us realize that sometimes God answers our prayers late? Anyone know that one?
Yeah.
What do we call it? At the 11th hour, at 59 minutes to midnight, God all of a sudden comes through. Well, that's what happens here. The church is praying earnestly, and Peter is on this amazing journey with an angel. And he's on his way out. You see, the church is still praying. They're praying endlessly. They realize that when you want to get hold of God, you just hang in there. There's a beautiful verse that Jesus talks about in Luke chapter 18 where it says, pray endlessly. When you pray into something, don't give up. Don't give up. Now, how many people grew up in the 70s and 80s? You remember the 70s and 80s? Do you remember it, Paul? Yep. Do you remember testimony nights? Like testimony, people would get up and share their testimony about. Anyone else remember those? And people got up and shared their testimony? One of the most common things I remember when people got up and shared their testimony was, yeah, well, I was into this, I was into that, I was doing this. And then I found out my little old grandma who loved Jesus was praying for me. My little old grandma who loved Jesus was praying for me. And most of them, their testimony was, if you're out there and you're into drugs or you're carrying on or you're doing everything wrong, you're doing every type of sin possible like the prodigal son, and your grandma's praying for you, just give up. Give up. Come and meet Jesus now, because those grandmas, they don't know how to give up. Not for their grandkids, not for their kids. Now, I know there's a bunch of grandmas here that are praying for their kids and praying for their grandmas. Every now and then when I give them a ring or they're watching online, they don't give up because they know it's real. And they know endlessly praying into something is something part of prayer. So Peter comes to himself and he says, now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent this angel to me and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything that the Jewish people were hoping to do to me. When he had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also known as Mark. So Mary had this big house, apparently, and lots of people came there, and they were meeting there around Pentecost, and they were meeting there at this time as well. Peter knocked on the outer entrance. And a servant named Rhonda came to the answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she opened the door and embraced him and welcomed him in. Is that what happened? Nope. She was so overjoyed that she could hear Peter's voice, she ran in, leaving Peter out in the street. She ran inside and told everyone, Peter's at the gate, Peter's at the gate, let's continue to read. And they all looked at her and went, you're out of your mind. Hold on a sec. The church is praying. They're praying, you know, earnestly. they're endlessly praying, so they're praying into the evening. They're probably praying for a couple of days because Peter's been arrested for a couple of days. And then finally they get the good news. Peter is standing at the front door. And they go, no, just pray a little bit harder, sister. Just pray a little bit harder. Yeah. You're out of your mind, they told her. But she kept insisting that he was there. And then where did they go to? It must be his angel. He must have been executed. He's coming to save. Be of good cheer. But what did Peter keep doing? He kept on knocking. He kept on knocking. I want to encourage you today, whatever you're praying for, whatever you're grabbing hold of, keep knocking. Keep being persistent. And keep praying specifically what you want to pray for. Don't pray a scatter prayer. We do enough of those, don't we? The Lord bless you and keep you. It's a great benediction and it's a great prayer. But sometimes we've got to pray specifically into the situation. I'm guessing that these guys, when they were praying specifically for Peter's release from prison. I'm guessing that's what they were praying for. For some miraculous intervention. But Peter keeps knocking and knocking. And then they finally opened the door and saw him. They were astonished. And Peter motioned to them with his hand, and then he told them to be quiet. And he described how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, tell James and the other brothers and his sisters about this. And he said to them, and he left for another place. In the morning, by the way, at the jail, there was a great commotion. We won't go into details of what happens in the jail. Herod was a bit of an upset man. And those that were on guard duty, it was their last guard duty. Peter escapes. The church prays. And if we jump all the way down to verse 24, the end of this amazing chapter, we notice these simple words. But the word of God continued to spread and flourish. The word of God continued to spread and flourish. You see, when Jesus ministered to the disciples, one of the prayers that he taught them was, you know, whatever is in heaven, may it be on earth. You know, that we would work in and through this. We would see the work of the Holy Spirit. That we would come together and we would pray earnestly. We would pray endlessly. And we would pray specifically. And we would pray in unity together as they did, praying together for the release of Peter. What is it that we're praying for at the moment? Our community's in a little bit of an uproar. Our schools are a challenge, but good opportunities. We continue to go and have fun in RI. We continue to support the chaplaincy in our local region, both at Kiwana and Bedina, and meeting with the two chappies. They do a great job, folks, a great job. But they need our prayers. They need our prayers. It's an important opportunity, but they need our prayers specifically as they go into those places. We've got coffee chaplaincies coming up. We've had one lot of paperwork done and we've got training coming up on the 23rd of June. So if you'd like to be involved in coffee chaplaincy on a Tuesday and Thursday morning where we go into the mental health ward, come and see John and Anne. You guys want to wave to us? Come and see John and Anne, or come and see myself and you can fill in the paperwork and become part of an amazing team. We'll pray together because we're going into a battlefield and a half into the mental health ward. Mental health is a big area in our society that needs lots of prayer. Domestic violence, we've been putting that on our e-news prayer list for a long time. Domestic violence is something that's in our community and we need to pray against it. We need pray protection for everyone in all situations. We're talking about times getting tough. Victoria is just coming out of another lockdown. We've had a bit of a scare here on the coast and you can see and hear all the different things that are happening. We need to be praying specifically into these circumstances and we need to be praying together. King Agrippa was a powerful man. His word was law. But our God is a big God. He's a mighty God. And he gives us this weapon called prayer. And he challenges us to join together in prayer. And he challenges us to pray earnestly, to pray endlessly, and to be a people who will pray together in unity. But he also challenges us to pray specifically. This last part, the word of God continued to spread and flourish, is one of the main parts of why Queensland Baptists are calling us to 21 days of prayer for revival. We want to see our community impacted. We want to see the word of God continuing to spread and flourish out into our community, into our schools, into our sporting clubs, into our universities, into our workplaces. We want to see, I'll just read these things because it's pretty cool. We want to be praying into the kingdom of God so that we'll see the breaking into this world, so that we can see healing to the broken and salvation to the lost. But it begins with us as the church surrendering to God's will, surrendering to what he would have us do. Whatever we do, may we be doing what God has called us to do. Whatever we do, may we be doing what God has called us to do. And may we rely on his strength, his power, his anointing to do that. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you for your faithful saints. I want to thank you for the prayers of your people. I want to thank you, Lord God, for right across this state, this week, there has been a tsunami of prayer. And I want to pray more and more into that, Lord God. I want to pray, Lord God, that you would wake us up, that we would pray earnestly. We would pray endlessly. We would pray in unity, and we would pray specifically. Help us, Lord God. Fill us anew with your Holy Spirit. May we acknowledge you. May we acknowledge you in all things. May we understand that there may be kings like Herod around us. There may be other political powers. There may be throughout this world, there are indeed political powers that are big and scary. But nothing, nothing compares to you, Lord Jesus. For you are God of wonders. You are a wonderful God. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sunday night, as I close, last Sunday night at the prayer night, Dan from Meriden Church challenged us to picture Jesus. Just to picture Jesus before we started to pray for revival for the church. So I just want you to do that now. I want you to picture Jesus. Just how you picture Jesus. I've done this with about four or five people this week, and I haven't had the same picture come up twice. So it's pretty cool. So just picture your Jesus. Just what do you see? As soon as I say picture Jesus, what do you see? All right. Now you don't have to share it, but I just want you to see it. I'll share you with you what I saw, and it'll just give you an example of what God's doing in my life. I saw Jesus riding a white stallion. And if you Google that, it's in the book of Revelation. And in chapter 19, he's riding the white stallion as a warrior, but as a victor. And on his flank of the horse, it's written, King of Kings. And the very next song we sang was King of Kings. And God was just doing something with me. And I've been praying into that this week. God, what is it? What is it you're wanting to do? Are you wanting to see more victory in people's lives? So just pray into that. What did Jesus show you? What did God show you? Who was Jesus for you? What did you see? And what does that mean for your walk with him this week? Pray into it.